Good afternoon to you all. Last week we looked at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1. We're going to read that again. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. We started by reading what a famous poet said about the book of Ephesians, S.T. Coleridge. And I thought it'd be a good idea to see what someone else thought about the letter to the Ephesians. So we're going to ask a theologian what he thinks. And this is what John A. Mackay, a theologian from a previous era, said, that it was the crown and climax of Pauline theology. And certainly, I suppose, as you read the letter yourself, you'll see it. If you study it carefully and compare it to the earlier levels, you will see the difference as the mind of God is expressed by St. Paul to these people in Ephesus. We also looked a little bit at the historical setting of the letter, Ephesus, and we'll just continue a little bit with that, not much, just quickly. Ephesus has been described as a bustling, glamorous, desired destination for many people, and there's a substantial amount of people were drawn to it from around about it, of course, Ionia, Lydia, Phrygia, but also people from Greece, Egypt, and Rome. It was quite a destination. It was a cosmopolitan city and attractive, just like Glasgow. A great place for evangelism, and Paul did have a strategic grasp of what was required in these early days of the church and how to go to certain places where his message will be readily received and widely received. And Ephesus was one of those places. Last time we looked at the life and conversion of Saul or Paul. And one of the things that struck me during the week when I was thinking back over what I'd said was that there was no mentioned there of repentance in the conversion of Paul. When you read it in Acts chapter 9, you'll find that Paul was struck by that light, blinded by it, but there's no mention of repentance or being sorry for his sins. But we can actually read what his assessment is of himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So repentance was there. He was sorry for his sin, particularly the persecution that he made of the Christians around about that time. And here he goes on to describe himself as an apostle. An apostle is one that has been sent forth, in this case, sent forth by Jesus. Well, 11 of the other disciples, and then plus Matthias, were also known as apostles, people who had seen the risen Lord and been sent by him on that mission. They're not the only ones, there's a few others. Barnabas was also one that was described as an apostle. So I can only assume that at some stage he'd seen the risen Lord and had been sent by him. One sent forth. One who filled a foundational role in church, what we call the church. Appointed directly by Jesus. And it's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And when you look in Acts chapter 9, you see a description that was given to the man who looked after him after he was been blinded, Ananias, a description. And just to imagine yourself, you're going to a job interview and they tell you a little bit about the job. Well, here's Paul's job description. He is a chosen vessel of mine. The Lord chose him to give a task. That's great. It's a good start, isn't it? When Paul was blinded by that light, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" I am Jesus. And he was a chosen vessel of Jesus. What was he going to do? He was going to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Well, that gets better, doesn't it? Not only is he the chosen, but he's going to go before kings and Gentiles and his own people, Israel, and proclaim the Lord. That's a great job description so far, isn't it? You'd like something like that. You'd like to be chosen and sent forth on something really important. And then the Lord says to Ananias, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Hold on a minute. I'm not so sure about that as a job description. I don't want to start a job, no matter how important it is, and then end up suffering because of it. But that was Paul's job description. That's what the Lord had called him to do. And he records in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 just what he went through. Now, I don't know what, as a Christian, you've suffered for being a Christian, but the worst I've ever had was being heckled in the open air when I was preaching. Just being someone answering back, trying to make fun of me and my faith. And that's it. I've never been struck. But Paul writes this about himself. "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one." So that's 39 lashings. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Just floating around in the ocean. A night and a day. That's a terrifying thought. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. Yes, he was the one who was not just going to the Gentiles, he was going to his own countrymen. And they rejected what was said. And he was in peril from what they would do to him. In peril of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brothers, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. This is what Paul went through for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the one of whom he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, Christ isn't a surname. It's a title. Jesus Christ. Christ is the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, and he was going to be a witness of him. And this is a continuation of the purpose of the Old Testament. We know that it's the New Testament. We know that there are many things in it that are new compared to the old. And as Hebrews puts it many times,